Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, Rob Bossolari here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. What's up everybody? Happy Sunday to all you football fans out there who got to see some wonderful action between the the team that's not my team and the team that's not your team. So
basically.
All right, so
this is the only time you get to see a Raiders hat on the preseason or postseason. Postseason, probably not. So you're welcome, Las Vegas.
Well, hopefully there'll be a little love for the Raiders next year when Tom Brady brings in, John Cena to finish off everyone and win the Super Bowl as Cena retires and the Raiders win finally. We are
Shador and Dion incoming.
Yeah. He flew back apparently from calling the game with the offensive coordinator of the Lions. So that's another person who's getting interviewed. But speaking of right now, TNA Genesis. It is going on right now, finishing up here with the main event. But so far, some great stuff happened today. Ace Austin and Moose really killed it in the TNA, the X Division title match.
I like Ace Austin now. And he's my hype, which gives me hope.
Well, and I'll tell you, he made Moose look great. He made Moose look like $1 million. Now we just had what looks to be a world title change for Joe Hendry winning the championship. Now, The only question is, we got a couple seconds left here.
Hey, Jamie.
Will Kazarian cash it in? Because Kazarian holds the cash in for the title shot. So if not, then we have Joe Hendry as the TNA champion.
Which that makes perfect sense because he'll show up at the Rumble and now he'll have the championship. There you go.
Right. Right. But speaking of showing up, Axiom and Nathan Frazier took a seat ringside to see the Rascals versus the Hardys. Mm. The Hardys retained, but we did get to see the Rascals do a leap that ended up leaping onto Frazier and Axiom. That set up an announcement that this Thursday is the first live TNA show on Access and the first live TNA weekly episode in something like over 8 years. And it will be a NXT tag team title match against the Rascals for Frazier and Axiom.
So I'm going to call it. Obviously, that title's not going to change hands, but it will be a banger.
I don't even know if we can say that title won't change hands, to be honest. Right now, there is no set in stone of what can be done or can't be done, including the fact that without an official announcement yet, we got right here Cora Jade showing up, and it looks like showing up for Masha Slamovich's title potentially. So that could be happening on Thursday on TNA.
And the House of Hell on TNA?
So... Hey, look at that. Oh, friend, tag team partner coming up. Oh, hey. I love this. Steve, is the fact that WWE working with smaller promotions just pissing you off, right?
No, not at all, actually. Not at all. The thing is, I complained about WWE not wanting to, you know, play nice with anybody else. And they, under new leadership, are changing literally everything that they were synonymous with under previous management.
TNA, as I've always said that. This is right out of the Vince McMahon playbook.
The next TNA, for sure.
It's a lighter version of the Vince McMahon playbook where we go to another territory, in this case a promotion, and grab their talent and milk the shit out of them.
I mean,
it's a watered down version of that.
Yeah, but see, you can't claim that and then say what they were doing in AEW wasn't, you know,
same thing.
Same thing. That's the whole thing. The thing is that there's no more territories. There's no more claiming. And I'll get to this later on because you hit on a point that I'm going to cover personally that I'm kind of pissed about this week. So we'll get into that. But of course, the big headline was a WWE and TNA announce a working relationship.
Yeah.
This is from the headline here. This historic relationship demonstrates the collaboration and competition do not have to be mutually exclusive. Said the senior VP of content and distribution for TNA Wrestling. Our partnership allows the TNA Wrestling brand and its incredible athletes to reach a significantly wider audience while giving WWE and NXT stars an opportunity to cross the line and gain valuable experience as they join forces with one of the most talented rosters in professional wrestling today. The response to our collaboration over the past year has been tremendous and both companies have benefited, but the fans have reaped the greatest rewards from this talent crossover and working relationship, which, you know, goes to show exactly kind of, you know, where the mindset is and has been over the last, you know, year or so with this starting up.
How long do you think it will be until Tony Khan, if he hasn't already, go out there and go, I did it first and I did it better?
It's not in his best interest to even comment on it.
Of course. But there exists a level of pettiness to the guy.
No. So no shit.
I'm not putting it out there. I'm not saying that. I think he might eventually go, you know what? That was a great idea I had. So nice, right, you guys.
Except for the fact that he didn't do shit like this, which is put... Exactly. The TNA champion, you know, prominent on his show. And I think that if you want to say that you did this or the other, he just didn't do it all the way.
That would have required Tony Khan to be a promoter instead of a matchmaker. And everybody on this panel, virtually everybody listening or watching right now, knows that that's not the case. He is not a promoter, unfortunately. And I'm the biggest defender of AEW on this show. But unfortunately, he is not a promoter. He is strictly a matchmaker.
I agreed with Travis. I would have agreed with you a few years ago when they were doing shit, when they were, you know, like jacking people's, you know, contracts, you know, and trying to get a cut off of their outside WWE stuff. With, I can't remember her name. She's on NWO, and they tried to, you know, get a piece of her. She's married to Aleister Black.
Oh, Zelina Vega?
Zelina Vega. WWE were trying to get a piece of her money for her social media stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, yes, that was petty back then. I consider them to be less petty now. Maybe I'm naive to think so. But by comparison to what we're seeing from the Tony camp, they're looking a lot shinier right now.
Well, wait a minute. Now we're going to talk petty. Let's talk about this. Peacock reveals 2025 Saturday night's main event schedule, and it's bad news for AEW. WWE and AEW will be going head-to-head in July as NBC apparently scheduled Saturday night's main event on the same night as All in Texas.
Yep.
And AEW All in Texas sales are slow. Should TK have waited till closer to July to put tickets on sale? I mean, is this what we're talking about in the height of you know, pettiness and just things not working out? You know, you could see here All in Texas in December 22nd, the setup is 18,140. Available tickets were 8,150. Available tickets as of January 12th were 7,338. So you're not really seeing, you know, I just don't understand why they didn't wait. And, you know, is this, again, is this pettiness? Is this fear? Is this just dumb fucking ego for the guy?
They also have not really, you know, announced any matches whatsoever. Now, of course, they've done the photo ops with people standing, you know, in front of the sign and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't believe that we're going to see, you know, ticket sales until they actually, make matches. Obviously WWE counter programming AEW, that's nothing new. This is just rank and file to the point where it doesn't surprise me whatsoever at this point.
Yeah. And like Travis said, what's not mentioned, the Saturday main event is scheduled for Memorial Day weekend, which is AEW weekend. Yep. So, I mean,
again, counter programming Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question, though. In reality, is it counter programming, or in reality, are they even looking at it? You know what I'm saying? Because what you're trying to wedge in a schedule is X
All
amount
in has
of
to be.
TV days.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would say that. But I'm going to take.
Well, but you also remember, though, the main event is it's NBC.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that it's easy for the bandwagon to jump on and be like, well, they're being dicks because they're scheduling it straight against them, blah, blah, blah. But you're talking about primetime Saturday night realty on NBC. It's not WWE going, oh, we're just throwing this on Peacock.
So I think that holds more water for the Memorial Day weekend thing. Because obviously you've got a holiday weekend. The weekend in July, no. That's straight up counter-programming. The Memorial Day weekend one, whatever, I believe that could be NBC, whatever the situation might be. But, yeah, it's glaring for the counter-programming against All In.
Agreed.
But the other question, and I'll be frank about it because this is the first thing I thought about it, is that All In is a pay-per-view. Right.
Put Travis's latest comment up there. Right there. It just confirms it.
And NBC.
Well, confirms it without confirming it, but yes.
They didn't randomly pick July 12th. That's a very specific date, and they're picking, you know, 5 months down the road, 6 months down the road. You know, they don't run Saturday night main event every week.
I love Rob. Your argument is they picked a specific date. It's a very specific date. Well, July 12th or July 13th or July 11th. Those are all specific dates, Rob. That's what a date is.
It's a specific. Jesus.
I mean, you ain't wrong.
But the truth of the matter is, though, again, it's a pay-per-view, right? Now, if they were running a pay-per-view versus a pay-per-view, great. But the honest answer is that Peacock is a DVRable or NBC is DVRable. It's also something that will be broadcast again on Peacock. So realistically, and let's be honest, once again, AEW, we're talking about some 500,000 to just under a million. Right, who will possibly buy the pay-per-view. So what is realistically, you're not taking away from an AEW fan buying that pay-per-view, right? The honest answer is, how does Tony Khan get people to watch that pay-per-view? You know what I'm saying? And the other question is,
well, I think you're being a little facetious. We know what the answer is. There has to be a buildup of compelling stories that will carry us through this time right now, leading up into July, in the same way that they have a Bloodline story that's compelling. We have Jon Moxley walking around with a belt in a suitcase, and there's no emotional investment or payoff in sight. Now, if you could find a way to make that suddenly appear where I give a shit about Marina Shafir walking around with a briefcase, but right now I don't. I don't have any emotional investment in any of the long-term storytelling. I don't know if any of my factions are heels or babyfaces. I don't know if they're going to take Jeff Jarrett seriously and actually give him a title run, or if he's just blowing smoke out his ass. I don't know where his crew is. I don't know where Jay Lethal is. I don't know where Sanjay Dutt is. I don't know where Satnam Singh is. I have all of these factions, all these people. We don't know where they stand from one week to the other. We're injuring all of our baby faces constantly. And I have no investment in the future because I don't have a concept of what the direction could be. Any one of us right now can pontificate about what WrestleMania is going to look like. We all have an idea in our head of what the card's going to look like. We have an idea that maybe it could be John Cena. We have an idea maybe it could be Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. We have an idea maybe Rock comes back, final boss. All right. But we don't know what All In is going to look like by any stretch of the imagination because they've done such a shitty job. Yeah, and that's another thing. Jon Moxley is a face, according to Bully Ray. Jon Moxley is a nothing. He's not a face. He's not a heel. He doesn't hit any point. He's just a guy who complains right now. He gets on and he complains about how shitty wrestling is when he's the shittiest element of wrestling right now.
Keep in mind, they just recorded Dynamite and Collision in Moxley's hometown. So, of course, he's going to get overwhelming babyface reactions in his hometown.
Of course.
Regardless of how they try to frame it, regardless of what they try to have him do, he's going to be cheered.
Like the famous Paul Heyman.
Not at all, bro.
The famous Paul Heyman promo for Brock Lesnar when they were in Minnesota. And he goes, No matter what I did, I could not turn that crowd against him.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, H. I did everything I could, and I could not turn that crowd.
Okay. So speaking of Moxley, that brings up the question, which is, why is that not coming up? Why did Moxley? What did you do with Hobbs? Like, what the fuck was that with Hobbs? That match was just
Hobbs got gangbanged.
It was a throwaway.
He bit off his earring. Ooh.
Yeah.
Another attempt to make the guy bleed by biting off his earring. And then the Death Riders came in there and gangbanged him. And then at the very end, after breaking his leg and leaving him messed up in the ring. Oh, look at that. Rated FTR shows up like 10 minutes late.
Dude, yes.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Rated FTR 10 minutes late. They could have been ringside the whole time, being evening out the score, so it was an even shot, and you could have wrote that as a story. Hey, man, we're going to be out there with you ringside, and then either the ref throws them all out, and it's an even match, or you save one guy, and you go, hey, you know what? We didn't see Pac this whole time. Where was Pac? We didn't see Pac. He wasn't out there with the rest of the Death Riders. They shows up, and he pulls the Solo Sikoa, like they did WrestleMania 40, where he did the second. No, this was just a fucking throwaway match. I don't give a shit about Hobbs off this. He didn't get any shine off this. He got nothing off this.
Yeah.
He didn't get a boost in his career.
The one thing that I'll say, we all somewhat knew how this shit would unfold. And, you know, I'll talk about this later in a segment. But the fact is that the Death Riders are looking eerily familiar to a New Japan faction that has generated go-away heat because of their tactics. And it's disgusting at this point. But it's not even being heels at this point. It's generating the wrong kind of heat. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I'll say is, yes, they Pillmanized his leg after the match. Okay. And you said it as well, Rob. They waited until after they Pillmanized the leg for Copeland's music to hit.
Cope before
Cope's music hit, and then he comes running out with a music cue. It's like, what you the fuck, man? Him. Like they should have hit the music when they were grabbing the chair, teased the Pillmanizing, because the thing that is fucking crazy. So obviously they played up the injury angle. And if you didn't see Collision, which, you know, outside of 250,000 people, who else did?
Gimpy.
They not only accomplished the exact same fucking thing that they could have done with the backstage segment. They had Chris Jericho and Big Bill and fucking Brian Keith lay out, quote unquote, Hobbs. And they teased that they, you know, they messed up his leg. And they did that in a backstage segment off TV. Right. So you only saw the aftermath. And then that set it up so that Hobbs could stumble down at the end of the match and actually recorded the winning pinfall, which I get that. But at the end of the day, you didn't need to Pillmanize his fucking leg, because what you did was you actually trivialized the act of Pillmanizing his leg. Because here's a guy that, if we're talking about real world calendar, the show was recorded the very next day after Dynamite. It was recorded the next fucking day. He was able to not only compete in that match, but score the winning pinfall. So you can say that it's building up Hobbs, I guess, even though not at all. That's what some people are saying. But you, if anything, diminish the act of Pillmanizing someone's extremity. It's stupid.
They call that term burying the lead. And here's the thing. If you watch like I do, half the time I might be working on another thing. I've got three screens here. I've got the screen in front. I've got a screen in the middle for watching the TV. And then I'm taking notes on the left one. Yeah. If I'm not completely and paying attention to that, I went back and I rewound it like twice, going, when did they break his leg? Yeah. Wait, did I miss something? I should be aware of what's going on. You can make a joke, oh, he isn't paying attention. I should be able to colloquially figure out where I'm at. And you did something, you should be going back to a replay and going, you know what, the break, they came in there and they snapped his leg. You didn't even have the fucking, you were so goddamn lazy, you couldn't even record them backstage smacking his leg and right. doing a concerto or wrapping it in there. How, what would that take in 3 seconds
yeah.
to do that? And then have Jackie Redman go, or not Jackie Redman or whomever come out and go, oh my God, how hard would that have been? That's lazy writing. That's just lazy production.
There's no writing.
Yeah.
Have you actually watched AEW?
Yeah. I joked about TNA back in the day where at one point they went cut and then they went to commercial. And I went, oh my God, that's so bad. They've done that on AEW like 4 times in 5 years.
Well, let's talk a little bit about something that really caught the ire of AEW fans, and that was Penta's debut on Raw. And oh, by the way, the guy can talk, which I had no clue the guy had any mic skills at all. And I've met the guy, I know the guy, you know, I've seen the guy. It's
his
amazing.
Costumes in Las Vegas. One of his ring attires is at the Nerd Bar. Also right. around my height. Woo.
Yeah, but talented. So Penta gets, you know, this debut, and what is...
You made him fucking rage quit.
Usually I'm the one who gets in trouble for getting people off the show, and you're taking yourself out. That's amazing.
Too soon?
No, usually this is what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the thing, and this is just fascinating. You have this whole fucking just unbelievable attention on the fact that oh, well, you know, first off, WWE is not using him right. The match was horribly slow. It was bad. It was just like, okay. Then
that match was great.
It was, you know, he was a star in AEW. You know, this argument from people that I saw, it was just like, oh my God, he was a star over there. And here he's nothing. And he's just going to be mid-carding, blah, blah, blah. You have people saying that he was the chosen one now that is going to replace Mysterio. You have, of course, the other thing that kind of ties into this.
He's replacing Dragon Lee.
Yeah, he replaced Dragon Lee. Yeah. Steve, is Phoenix being held prisoner? Is a question that is also being brought up now.
Yeah. I love that meme. That's meme worthy for life.
Dude, so that image actually came straight from Ray Phoenix's Twitter. He posted that shit and then pulled it down. But yeah, what was it? Last week, 4 days ago, I'm staring at an article right now from Sports Illustrated, of all places. This is where it got picked up. Sports Illustrated, SI.com, actually asking if Ray Phoenix's merchandise was possibly pulled from the AEW shop. Now, we talked about Petty earlier, you know, with WWE and their counter programming. I think that it goes pretty, yeah, suffice to say that, you know, if this is in response to Penta's debut, which was universally praised by anybody who wasn't staring through the lens of tribalism,
right?
You know, realistically, WWE did more for Penta in one night than TK and AEW did in almost 5 years. Which it again, I said it at the top of the show. I'm one of the loyal apologists and proponents of AEW.
I'm going to give one exception. Their tag match, that cage match against the Young Bucks, was incredible. The production values of when they came down the ring with all the guys dressed up in Aztec clothes, the flames hitting, the thumbtacks on the shoes, the way they did that hardcore match was brilliant. They have not done anything that good again. And I will argue that their best matches were against Proud and Powerful back when they were LAX on TNA, because go watch those tapes. Those matches between those four Latino wrestlers is fucking incredible.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. It's what's really so the funniest that you bring up that point. The funniest thing to me was that the idea that people were saying, well, WWE isn't going to let them do these things that they can do and that type of thing. And the honest answer is, well, watch them in AEW versus what they did in TNA, and it was watered down. The honest version is that AEW, didn't they put what's his face with them to be the mouthpiece?
The hype Alex, man, Alex Abrahantes.
And it
led to the whole Penta says bullshit.
You didn't need it. He was good. He was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
He cut a good promo. I got choked up a couple of times in that promo.
And I gotta say this. I mentioned this in the YouTube chat. It was definitely the right move for them to delay the debut by a week. Rumor was that they were going to save him to debut on week one of the Netflix programming, but they did the right thing by debuting him a week later in front of a very receptive crowd in San Jose. It was absolutely perfect. You have that fan base that knew who he was and he could speak to them, and it was expertly done. You just have to call it what it is.
Thing about his Spanish. The way in which he spoke it was such that if you had a mild understanding of the language, you could follow him in Spanish, and he did double back in English. I can speak some Spanish, but I was able to follow him, whereas when he does speak on AEW, he was going a mile a minute. This time, he was very, very, very understandable. He did that on purpose. He slowed his Spanish down so that it was comprehensible to any audience. It was a very minor detail.
And that brings me to something that I have to read this, because I thought this was just this is that heart of the tribalism of things. Okay. Dirtsheets.net on Facebook posted this. Raw Netflix has been disappointing. Don't hate my rant. 37-year WWE fan here. Scotty Page legend and goat mod. I stopped watching Raw and SmackDown long ago. Not enough bangers. And have just been watching the PLEs. LOL. Dead Fed can't even sell pay-per-view anymore. Every month. With the move to Netflix, I was expecting Attitude Era 2.0 because now there's no USA network to filter and enforce standards and practices. I was expecting to see a TV-14 rating with blood, solid promos, solid storylines, solid matches, stable rivalries, profanity, nudity from my precious cinnamon roll Walfus.
Waifu.
Possibly an actual live murder, etc. None of that has happened in two episodes. All we have gotten is Hulk Hogan, Undertaker, Rock, John Cena, like any of them are stars, and a bunch of underperforming and recycled matches. Why do I want to see Sheamus versus Imperium for the 100th time already? But I wish Swerve and Hangman would have had a best of 15 series, and that's also like to see fresh matchups like Ospreay versus Ricochet, Omega versus Okada, and cool new rivalries like Cope versus Jericho. Now we have women's IC titles, and yet here we are with nothing but singles matches and no death matches between the women. Chelsea Green could show how much of a badass she is by busting open Meechan, even better if it's the hard way. Gunther wasn't even in the inaugural Netflix episode of Raw. Sure, Christian has had six matches in the last 6 months, but his gimmick is so over. But Hulk Hogan was... Was the move to Netflix just to bump up the TV viewership rating to Attitude Era ratings? But without the Attitude Era, it's like they are a company trying to make money. Just because Raw is now being live in more countries worldwide, do we need to bring back Eric Bischoff to probably run a 3-hour Attitude Era Raw on Netflix because Triple H can't? He's no Tony.
Oh, God. That has to be fucking satire.
See, and that's the problem.
You don't know. I said last week that they only did 700,000, and you guys were like, no, they did millions of views. Where did I get that figure? From that site, Dirt Sheets.
Yeah. Yeah.
I quoted Dirt Sheets.
And what I'm saying is this. So that was posted by whoever that was. The actual thing I got it from was someone who reposted it on Facebook, who is an AEW fan. Didn't read that as satire, read it as this guy is telling the truth. And this is why we have this problem, is because anyone who stupidly says that Cope versus Jericho is a fresh matchup is obviously taking a dig.
Yeah.
And taking a dig at the AEW fans, and the AEW fans who are blinded cannot understand that is the shit that
it's sarcasm, man, to being they're fucking with you.
Exactly.
Because when you say Christian, that Christian gimmick is so over, and then you're trying to read that straight up, it's like, no, dude, that's a dig. That's not a good gimmick. The fact that he's playing a pedophile with a turtleneck and he's a member, like he looks like a Mambla faction, is not a good gimmick. Literally, if 5 years down the line, somebody asked me, what did Christian do? They did a gimmick where he was running a Mambla chapter. And he got a bunch of fucking young boys. He stripped them down, but he got their mom's permission. And then he made them fight for him. And their nanny was a dinosaur. And that was the gimmick. And then they got a British young boy. And they got him nice and naked, and he ran around in a turtleneck and had the young boys fight for him. And that was the gimmick. And they called it the pediarchy.
All I know is I believe everything this guy reports.
Well, if he's wearing our shirt, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Look at.
I mean, say what you will about that office, but I mean, you know, the guy has good taste if he's wearing our gear. That's all I'll say. You know,
I'm just. Can you see where the small child's hand is reaching for help underneath one of those piles?
Jesus.
Oh, don't worry, Christian. We'll get him soon.
Okay. Excuse me,
Christian Cage.
Yes.
Christian Cage, the kids.
And speaking of, again, some things that have been going on, Rob, you brought this up, so I had it. Okay, Hounds of Hell. Really? That's
going to be their answer. Masterful paintwork there, by the way.
Somebody use Microsoft Paint.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it matter?
No.
I mean, Brody King is still fat and out of shape. And, you know, I hate to say that, but it's true. You know, if you look at him, it's like the guy has so much potential, but yet I've always thought that he just doesn't take it 100%. You know, Julia Hart, is she really a terrifying evil person? Yeah, is she a hound of hell?
Of course not.
No, she looks like she's 100 pounds soaking wet. It's very hard for her to sell some of the moves that she's doing.
Right. And then, I mean, I think maybe if they called them Buddy's Bitches,
Jesus,
I'd go with that. Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I just love how he's supposed to be this scary goth guy with a name, Buddy Matthews. He sounds like a fucking game show host. Why would you continue to use an in-ring name of Buddy at any capacity is beyond me. I just make that one make sense to me. Am I missing something? Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm being serious here.
No.
What kind of fucking scary, dark, goth name is Buddy?
Well, yeah. And John had a good point. 2 years in a row, Brody King deserved better in the Continental Classic.
Well, he jobs to Darby Allin all the damn time.
Right, who essentially is more goth than Buddy. It's Darby. most goth Darby guys on the
Allin,
roster.
Darby Allin is goodwill goth because he doesn't have enough money from what Tony's paying him to afford real goth clothes, which is why he's wearing fucking dark pantyhose and fucking boots that did, and then a hooker like fucking jacket that he found in a dumpster, you know, right next to DJ in the corner of Valley View with Tropicana.
Jesus.
Well, speaking of being found in a dumpster, like Travis said, what happened to Lashley versus Swerve? What happened to Swerve?
The latest is that Robert Lashes didn't want to give Swerve his win back. But then again, that's what you hear if you read the internet. But realistically, they did a lot of discussing that, and they made a point of showing that match when they did the announcement event for the All In Texas show. So that leads me to believe that they're going to go back and revisit that. Now, obviously, they got 6 months. Until that show.
Right.
So they do have plenty of time. But as far as the Hounds of Hell name, it came across to me as, you know, fucking old school Hot Topic, edgelord type bullshit.
ChatGPT, come up with a name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come up.
And it is what it is. If it means that they're actually going to push Buddy and Brody as a tag team, which they are doing a match on Dynamite this coming Wednesday. They did announce it on Collision, going against the Gates of Agony. You actually had Toa and Khan cut a promo, and they ran a little mini video package. They ran a little mini video package. They called out any team, and then you saw that that it's going to end up being the Hounds of Hell versus the Gates of Agony.
Are they the Hounds of Hell? Because
the trademark that was filed was for the Hounds of Hell. So HOH. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Oh yeah. House
and it's hysterical. I find it funny because Here's the thing. I love Toa. I've known him quite some time, and he's one of my favorite people around. Until you said that, and I must have fast forwarded through it because I missed it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's right. They're on the roster. Like, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah. Speaking of being on the roster and being Samoan, guess who's back?
That was good. I liked that. They did Samoa that well.
Joe, I mean, the only problem I have with it is it looked like he rescued a 14-year-old who was getting picked on at fucking, you know, in the hall at fucking when the bell rang.
I'm going to do something. I'm going to get in there. I can't wrestle that. I just had foot surgery. I'm going to do something. I'm going to hold on now. I'm going to get in this ring. Oh, I'm going to get in there. Hey, just any second now. Come on, play the music. Play the fucking music.
Yeah. It's great to see Joe back. But again, instead of the question is this going to elevate Hook? You know, is this going to bring that to, you know, bring him to a higher level? Or does this downplay Joe again? Because where does he fit into that mix?
It's very simple, Matt. This is what they have to do. They're going to cut a promo where Joe vouches for Hook's fake ID and gets him into the club after the show, so Hook can have his fucking Jaeger bombs. Jaeger bombs. Yeah. He looks like he's the guy's like fucking guardian. Like, it is his uncle. This is Uncle Samoa Joe.
Hook's Uncle Joe showed up.
Uncle Joe.
Because his dad, Taz.
Yeah. Go take my kid to the track. Here's $20, okay? Have him bet on loose hooves, okay? Go. Bring him to the track. Give him a couple of times. Yeah, here's an extra 100. Go take him to fucking Scores, all right? Take him to Scores and make sure they don't screw him, okay? Okay? That's one song, one dance, $20, okay? If that broad starts in the middle of the fucking song, she's going to try to charge him for two fucking dances, okay? Make sure that he knows that.
You know, speaking of broads, Megan Bain is part of the women's casino gauntlet match.
Was that Taya Valkyrie Jr.?
So here's the problem. Once again, big buzz on Megan Bain being now in AEW, et cetera, et cetera. But the question is, one, she was kind of with AEW at some point, maybe. And number two, who the fuck is Megan Bain?
So
AEW wrestler. I'm going to bring Gotham back and give it to you, the fans.
So they signed her to a deal back in 2023. And then she made a couple of appearances on AEW Dark. And then we saw nothing from her. She was in Stardom through 2023, early 2024. Was working in GCW, teaming with Joey Janela. She's definitely been working, and she's been, according to a lot of people, she's been on the roster the entire time. So again, another name that they've owned the rights to that they've just not been fucking using.
Wait a minute. So you're trying to tell me she tagged with Joey Janela. So that means she replaced Kiss. So Sonny Kiss is gone and they got a real woman this time.
Ooh, come on now. Sonny's a friend, man. That hurts.
I'm sorry.
But, and speaking at the same time that you had that gauntlet match go on and Tony Storm wins it, and of course going to Australia and going against Mara May, who she's never met and is going to meet this week for the first time on Dynamite. Oh, my God. On Raw, we get Lyra Valkyria as the first ever women's IC champion. And again, it's funny because of the fact that for everything that went into that women's gauntlet, match Not that it was horrible. It was just, it just seemed very underwhelming, right? I think that, you know, even a Tony winning, I think, should have been a bigger deal. You know,
well, everyone knew it was going to fucking happen.
Right.
That was the Stone Cold Lock of the Week, bro. Like, you didn't even know who was going to be in the match, but you knew where the match was going to be. And did you notice how literally the ref didn't even pick his hand up off the canvas and they had that fucking graphic on the screen?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like, come on. Like, but the
execution
knew.
Of those moves, there were a lot of spots that were really sloppy. The suplex was kind of a botch. The Nightwing was, you know, it was a little, it was not polished, the match.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. And then, you know, you look at Raw and you go, the best thing about Lyra and Dakota was the fact that, quite honestly, you could not tell who was going to win that match. And we're starting to get a sense of these matchups for the first time in a long time, where you might be leaning towards, okay, they can go face or heel. This, you know, this might be, you know, this, but you're still going, there's a little shot here. There's something that makes you go, okay, I really, if I had to put a bet down, I don't know if I could bet the right way, because it's not as clear on predictability as it used to be, because we're getting matchups we haven't seen. In stuff like that. And it's pretty, you know, it's pretty nice, A, that she's getting, you know, a little recognition, a little push. Hopefully, you know, you get to see something come of that with her. I kind of wish that it would have went the other way, because the first IC champion is a gay man. It would have been interesting for the first women's IC champ to be a lesbian. So that would have been kind of cool, but it's great. And Lyra Valkyria is solid. There are going to be matchups, and I think, again, these belts are going to be used as kind of those stepping stones, so that, you know, you can get some of this talent that's just fucking overwhelming into kind of that title picture, more so because we still have Blair coming back, which, you know, Charlotte, if you want to say, oh my God, look at Charlotte Flair at NXT this week. Holy shit.
Excuse me. I'm going to have to hold.
You know,
there he goes.
Puts himself away there.
That's all that we have to do to get rid of Rob.
Yeah, it's like,
God, hold on. I feel 5 pounds lighter.
Damn, it's, dude.
It's like you were just at Scores.
hey, you know what? Charlotte Blade costs a little bit of money. Tip the wait staff on that one. Give a little bit extra to the house on that one, Joe, okay?
So, you know, and then you got Becky Lynch, and, you know, again, it's crazy how much talent, is there and what we could be seeing. Really quick, speaking of women's division over in AEW, this quote was, from Harley. Did I get what I wanted? No. Am I happy? No. Am I going to give up? I refuse. You see, because tonight I went toe-to-toe with the AEW's Women World Champion. That is right. Mariah got a taste of my wrath, and she did not like it. Oh, no. You see, I have smitten with the wrong kitten. You will bathe in my wrath, because I have the support of at least 6 nieces and nephews in Australia. I am Harley Cameron. I am onwards and upwards and outwards and onwards and then outwards and then upwards, upwards. Not like a staircase upwards, more like an elevator, like an escalator, whatever you prefer. It's going up like a bird, something of that nature. Onwards and upwards, feel the wrath. Why is this person not getting the fucking push?
Bro, Harley Cameron is the definition of maximizing your minutes.
I wanted to fight Chelsea
she's
Green.
She's fucking great. She needs to be on every episode of AEW programming possible. Period.
Amazing. A fucking amazing.
And have her do a rock concert. Have her do some sort of rock concert. Get her, get a guitar in her hand. Have her go on the stage.
Yeah. I mean, they had her do the ads for the 12 days of AEW leading into Christmas.
Great.
And she crushed it. So yeah, dude, I would love nothing more than, and I threw it out here on the show a couple of weeks ago. I would love to see Harley Cameron, of all people, be the one to beat Mercedes Moné for that TBS championship.
Yeah, I mean, if they pivot that way, that would be spectacular. Okay, yeah. Speaking of, we got huge, huge thing with Corey Graves' tweet, which brings questions about his future and his relationship with Pat McAfee. Again, Corey Graves tweeted out, imagine chasing your dream, then being told, not deciding, that you're no longer physically able to pursue your dream. And then you dedicate your life to something dream adjacent and being pretty fucking awesome at it. And then when it's time to enjoy the fruits of your labor, being told you're not famous enough for your own job, just in case you've wondered where I've been. At the same time, Michael Cole put out 28 years and it took this dipshit's arrival to finally get on a truck. Seriously humbled, honored, and privileged to be part of this company. And that is responding to Pat McAfee, who said, this is crazy shit. I'm so damn thankful and lucky. Hey, at Michael Cole, I think the flavor saver Cole or coal miner Cole would have been better on a truck. But nonetheless, it's an honor to get to work with you, brother. So Michael Cole and Pat McAfee get a truck and Cordy Graves gets pulled off TV. What a week.
He got to NXT and he sat there and he was like,
No, he didn't.
That was the week before. He was on NXT.
Oh, no.
I don't know what you saw. He was on NXT. It was three people on commentary a week ago.
Did they put him in commentary?
Yes, they did. They did. It was him. It was, I can't remember the other guy's name, and it was Booker T, the three of them.
So it was Joe, and Corey was on, okay.
Yes, he was. Right. He was on NXT.
He was not on the January 14th episode of NXT, though.
But he was on the week before that.
The week before that, yes. So it was like he was there for a week and then decided he still got pulled.
He wasn't on this week's on
right.
On
no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't on this. He got pulled. Yeah. So the other two guys got a truck the same week. He tweeted that out and he got
pulled. But also like Michael Cole, like tongue in cheek saying, oh, you're a dipshit because it took you to get me on a truck. Like that guy is also probably looking in his room going, you know what? I've been on this show and why should I have to share the spotlight with this guy?
No. That's a nice try at digging coal, but no.
You think he's being playful about that?
Yeah, because of their actual relationship.
Huh? Yeah. I would be sore as fuck. Like, why do I have to wait for this guy to show up for me to get my roses? You know, I don't care for him personally, in the way he presents, but he has been a fixture with that company for a very, very long time. He should have been on a truck a lot faster than that. And I do feel bad.
If you were doing this podcast with Ron Funches, you would be on a truck too right now because of Ron Funches.
No shit.
Exactly.
So,
McAfee is everywhere media. He is on every fucking thing. I mean, come on. Like, if WWE ever wanted, you know, that
I'm not
that
a football guy. I never heard of McAfee until and Joe Tessitore. I get why they went with him, but at the same time, like, he's got that announcery voice and he's really big with the college football. I'm showing my ignorance. Are a lot of college football people going to come over there because Joe Tessitore is on WWE? My father recognized it. My father heard the voice. He's like, wait, that's a college football guy. But I'm like, I would rather have seen.
This comment right here. Pat McAfee will not be appearing on Raw tomorrow because of the college football national championship game. And Wade Barrett will be filling in for him. Okay, so keep this in mind. Pat McAfee is going to be doing some things with the college football national championship game. The biggest game in college football. Sure.
Yeah,
he just happens to be one of your color commentators for WWE Raw. That's right. Why He has that crossover. He has millions and millions. I know it's a cliche, but millions and millions of viewers and followers. And dude, the guy is an influencer.
With him. I like the way he interacts with Michael Cole, because he made Michael Cole more interesting than he's ever been. But now you're going to have, Wade Barrett come in tomorrow instead of Corey Graves.
Well, keep that in mind. It could very well have been Corey Graves, but popped off on social media and he could very well have burned his bridge. Instead of being the next man up, he could be the next man out, which
or it might work.
Could very well be what he wants.
Right. And it could work into a program, because it's been rumored that Graves might be cleared to wrestle. So all right, Steve. Sin City Steve's AEW over under pick of the week. All right, first time doing this, Steve. What do you got for us?
All right, so I just have to make this perfectly clear. Since AEW started their streaming stuff with Max, they've had a lot more cross promotion. And that's been something that we've all ripped into Tony Khan and AEW about. And I even mentioned it on this show that Tony Khan is a matchmaker and not a promoter. Well, if you look at anything to do with Max, you see AEW all over their programming announcements, all over all of their press stuff. So even if you're not a Max subscriber, these numbers for the last 2 weeks, and yes, I know. I'm going to hear about, why are they that bad to begin with? But I get this. Okay. So the AEW viewership, was 2 weeks ago, 615,000 viewers. Before that, they were sub 600,000. Okay. 2 weeks ago, they went up to 615,000 viewers. Now, this is not including those Max numbers. Max numbers are on top of these. So average 615,000 viewers 2 weeks ago. This past week's Maximum Carnage episode of Dynamite netted 679,000 viewers. I think we're finally starting to see some upward trajectory. And my over-under this week is I believe AEW will be over 700,000 viewers on AEW Dynamite this week. And then also, right there, take that to the bank. I mentioned the Stone Cold Lock of the Week last week being Toni Storm winning the gauntlet match for the women. This week, your Stone Cold Lock of the Week, the Hurt Syndicate beating Private Party to a pulp and winning those AEW Tag Team Championships. Dude, the over-under on that match has got to be 10 minutes, and I'm taking the under. Hammer the fucking under on that shit. That's not going to go 10 minutes. They need to, you know... Yes, they tried to do some things with Private Party. They never capitalized on it whatsoever. And every segment that these guys have been in, they've been made to look like fucking chumps. They've only been on Dynamite twice, and that was literally to be punked out by the Hurt Syndicate. And then also, this past week, what? Are you serious? They got crushed as we saw MVP return to the ring to team with Lashley and Benjamin as they defeated Mark Briscoe and Private Party.
He looked decent in the ring.
He did. So big props to MVP. And this match should not go 10 minutes. That's your over-under of the week. So less than 10 minutes, but AEW Dynamite will do over 700,000 viewers this week.
All right, Matt Michaels, get out of my ring. I'm going to tell you right now that this week something really caught my attention that made me totally pissed off. It's one thing to have the tribalism. It's one thing to, troll people to be pro-WWE, pro-AEW. That is all fine. But there was a post that I saw that basically literally came out and said that the WWE wrestlers are not wrestlers. Now, here's a problem. This crossed the fucking line. It's one thing to take pride in a company. It's another thing to razz people or troll people about Tony Khan, about Vince McMahon, about the WWE, about Triple H, all that stuff. That's fair game. But you came out and you said that it's a soap opera, that all they do is talk and it's all show, et cetera, et cetera. And basically this person in today's terminology came out and said, wrestling is fake. But AEW is not fake. This is real wrestling. The problem is that every single person in the WWE who steps in the ring has more talent on their fucking pinky than this piece of shit who wrote that thing. That piece of shit needs to go fucking find himself, go kill himself, go fucking jump in a river. Hey, I know, I'm serious. Because the problem is that when it comes down to talking about...
When Michael shoots, he brings a gun.
But when you're talking about being in the ring, these people perform every single fucking day they go in there. They put their lives on the line. Chris Bay is coming back from something that could have been catastrophic in his life. Not in the ring, but just because he's on TNA and they might do a segment where he's with Ace and they're, you know, doing some kind of, you know, vignette or something like that, doesn't mean he's not a wrestler. These people are athletes. They do shit that most people can't dream of. And also, most indie wrestlers are not capable of doing. If you've made it to the WWE, you didn't make it because you're a goddamn fucking actor. You made it because you can perform in that ring, no matter the level they put you at in terms of what you're supposed to do. The performance is different, okay? But the honest answer is these guys work their fucking asses off for your entertainment. And it's basically the same idea that the military here, right? They protect us so we can have our freedoms, right? The idea of saying anything negative about military personnel is the same type of idea of saying something that these wrestlers aren't wrestlers because they're in the WWE. They are putting their lives on the line every time they do it. And it's bullshit to be hearing this kind of stuff, okay? The other thing that really got to me too is hearing about John Cena's taking someone's spot. I'm sorry.
He earned that spot.
Yes. And not only that, but you're not taking a spot. Again, along the lines is it is entertainment, right? And he is now going to, for the next year, risk his potential movie career every time he goes in that ring. All right. They're going to protect him. He's going to be as safe as possible, but something could happen. The idea that he's taking someone's spot, he already has a spot and he has a character and he has 20-year history that is coming to a close. And it's just like Tom Cruise doing Mission Impossible 7 to end the fucking series. They're not replacing him with another actor because Tom Cruise is taking someone's spot. No, it's a fucking entertainment venue, guys. This is what pro wrestling is. Ever since the event of TV, that is what pro wrestling is. It's spectacle, entertainment, it's storytelling, and it's professional athleticism being used to showcase this. All right, let's stop this nonsense that these guys are taking each other's spots or not wrestlers or anything like that. You can make fun of Tony Khan. You can make fun of Vince McMahon. You can make fun of Triple H. That's fine. But the idea that these people are not going out there and doing something that most human beings can't fucking do, that's ridiculous to me. And I think that that needs to be said. We need to stop that. Okay, Rob?
I was gonna say I have a problem with your assessment there. Not that saying that was wrong. There was and I'll go slightly off topic. There was a Star Wars show called Star Wars Acolyte. It was terrible. And it got canceled because it was a bad, poorly written show. Immediately, the Nerdist and Geek League America tried to make a viral campaign saying that the show was canceled because of toxic fans. And they kept putting that storyline out there and that premise that it was the fans' fault that the show was canceled. And it was actually really well written, and it deserved a second, third, fourth, fifth season because of the toxic fans got in the way of how good it could have been. And I watched it and I went, wait a minute. This is a concerted effort to try to make it look like there is a viral movement out there to make this complaint about WWE's talent and about John Cena hoarding a spot. That is possibly somebody out there in AEW land downline Tony Khan being told, hey, look, I need you to start a viral counter movement, and I want you to put that seed out there that really WWE is not as good as they say they are, and really John Cena is well past his prime, and he's really choking off future talent. I would not put it past any corporation to do that.
Well, first off, they're not a corporation. It literally would just be Tony doing that. Second off, I don't think Tony
any is, organization, any entity, yeah, especially one run by him.
I don't think he would personally do that. For as much as I think Tony is a dipshit, and have heard stories, the honest answer is Tony actually is a nice guy. Okay, his intentions are not to to derail by derailing the talents. You know that he is a fan.
So he bitched about Triple H and tried to do a viral feud with Paul. That doesn't help. Yeah,
but again, that was strictly with Triple H, you know, calling him a bald asshole and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Obviously there's some deep seated resentment there, but
But realistically, what I'm talking about is the actual fans who have no concept of what it's like. And Rob, you've said this how many times on the show? You've been in the ring. You've taken a bump and you said, fuck this.
My neck was not supposed to bend that way.
Now, if a person, you know, talked about your comedy, right? So think about it. You do comedy. That's what you do as an entertainer, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's great. The problem is that it's like saying, you do your comedy. That's who your character is in the wrestling ring, but you don't actually wrestle in that wrestling ring that you're in. And that's the thing. Your character is your character. The storylines are the storylines, but the fact of the matter is you're actually in the ring wrestling. You know, you can say what you want about, again, movies, stand-up, bands, whatever, because that is pure entertainment that you need a skill to do, but you are not athletically doing anything as part of it, you know, in that manner. And here, you know, ripping people down who actually are wrestlers, it just makes no sense. And
my real name is Rob Abrahantes.
I got to point out what John said. Matt, as a member of the United States military, a lot of negative comments I've received over the years hasn't been from foreigners of the Middle East on deployments, but from the American citizens that I try my hardest to protect their freedoms.
That's fucking disgusting.
Not surprised.
I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm not surprised.
Right. You know what? This is a perfect time to... We're going to take a little social media dump here because why not? Let's start with some of the stuff. Tony Khan responding. Someone doing Tony Khan responding to TNA's announcement of working with WWE. Wait, two wrestling companies can form a partnership that's mutual beneficial for both sides? Austin Creed tweeted out as the very first at This Is TNA homegrown talent to find success in WWE. I just think it's funny that no one who came after me had the manners to say thank you as I held the door open for them. That was brilliant. This coming from Missy Hyatt. with all of the Samoans are still arguing who is the real tribal chief. Us Jews in wrestling have appointed at the MJF as our Jewish tribal chief. I got appointed as the wise woman, which is phenomenal. Shouldn't our Jewish tribal
chief be the guy who did that tit job?
Well, I'll ask Missy.
Ulafala.
I like her Ulafalas.
This here, great picture.
Dude, even Io Sky knows what's up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Io Sky checking out Bailey's ass.
Oh man.
Quite amazing there.
Good job, Pamela.
Corey Gray's next TV appearance be like. And it's him sitting down like CM Punk, doing the mic drop there. Just again, a lot of stuff going on. Conan on the Keeping It Real podcast. You don't got to prove anything else. Go to WWE and get the star treatment and don't be a big fish in a little pond, calling out Kenny Omega, which was interesting.
If only Conan would have kept his mouth shut, we wouldn't have had any of this issue with Penta or Rey Fénix.
Right. Exactly.
Seriously. Right? He was the one that leaked the whole contract bullshit.
Exactly.
What was he looking for? Just to get like 5 seconds of fame?
Relevancy.
It's a podcast. I mean, I don't blame him for saying outrageous shit.
Not at all.
I think that he should say more, and then we can say it on this show. And
exactly.
This one here with picture of Hogan saying to Jimmy Hart, as soon as Hogan got backstage, Jimmy, they really didn't like you being out there. That was some major heat on you. Congratulations to Brooke Olsky, who is Brooke Hogan, who gave birth to twins. So
I didn't recognize her in that picture from the TNA days.
Yeah, well, Brooke has now gotten twins, so congratulations. Speaking of not recognized, do you guys know who that is?
Rhea Bloody Ripley.
Mommy.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. But if you knew who Rhea is, who's that guy from high school?
Looks like Sean Hannity.
It's not Sean Hannity. No, it is Cobb County's own.
Oh, 1982, shit.
The Big Boss Man, his yearbook photo, and in his little caption in the yearbook, enjoys sports, football, baseball, soccer, wrestling, track, and all those wild women. Oh, God bless you, Big Boss
with
Man.
That frilled 70s
tuxedo.
Oh, my God. Why did people?
If you ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia.
Oh. Yeah. Paul Heyman, he praised Cody Rhodes this week. Cody, we need you in Detroit. We are at 98%. We really want to sell out. We're going to book you on 3 morning radio shows starting at 6 a.m. Great. I'll be there. If there's any other overnight, I'll do overnight radios too. I'll do the afternoon drive time radios, and then I'll go to the arena in time for my show. My God, man. And he does it on his days off too, is the quote from Paul Heyman. Which was great to see. Again,
not surprising at all.
Yep. WWE and Baseball Hall of Famer Bob Uecker passed away at the age of 90. We had some WWE is saddened to learn the legendary baseball play-by-play announcer and WWE Hall of Famer Robert George Bob Uecker has passed away. It extends its condolences to Uecker's family, friends, and fans, and Triple H. Weighed in, one of the most entertaining voices ever and an even better person. Rest in peace to a WWE legend, Hall of Famer, and great friend. And, you know, again, going around just really quick, Jeffrey Mazlowski.
Mazlowski.
I took a huge dump, but since it was in the Tokyo Dome's bathroom, Meltzer gave me 6 stars. You gotta love the Meltzer humor out there when we get to these.
That's what you call final battle.
Exactly. All right. Final thoughts. Rob, what's going on in your comedy stylings and final thoughts for the week?
So keep your eyes peeled to the Boss Comedy channels. I got an impromptu show tomorrow in response to the inauguration. I have a show at Rick's Rolling Smoke at 8 o'clock. That's the one on Las Vegas Boulevard on Wednesday for with Steve McAnally. I am going to be at New Woo, the dispensary, on Friday at 8:30, and I'm going to be at 12:30 at fucking, I love this show. I'm going to get to be on The Dirty at 12:30 for the second time. Big thank you to Gabe Lopez for giving me this opportunity that second time. And then after that, sky's the limits, but we are coming out swinging.
Dirty at 12:30 is where for those people who are?
That is at the South Point Casino. So 12:30 Friday into Saturday. It's going to be sick. It starts to fill in by about midnight. So around midnight, you want to get your seat. It's going to be great. If you want to hang with a bunch of strippers, porn stars, rockers, they had what's his name's band was there last week. Carlos Santana's band was there chilling.
Oh, you mean like, Santana?
Like
that's what the name of the band is, Santana.
Yeah, no, but his band. Well, yeah, his band, his guitarist.
Are you sure you're doing the Dirty at 12:30? Are you not doing? It sounds like you're going to be playing New Woo the whole week because you're pretty New Wooed right now, buddy.
No, I'm saying that when I said those are people who like are in attendance, who like go to visit it. Those are the people in the audience. You get to see some cool people. Hell, I don't know how many porn stars have met at this thing. It's crazy. But
speaking of, I'm glad you said it. January 22nd through the 25th, the AV Vens are AVNs. At Virgin. So if you do
no virgins there.
And ironically, the last few years it has coincided with the Concrete convention in town. So let me tell you, from what I know from some of the girls, those guys are really good tippers at the clubs this week. So if you're one of the girls watching and you work in the clubs, get ready for some construction concrete guys. Because
make that money.
Exactly. All right, Steve, what do you got to say? I kind of got a feeling that you want to take a pee-pee.
Yeah, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
He wants to salute the brave men and women of pee-pee.
That's right. First, though, I want to say thank you to everybody who's hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing. The chats were on fire across all of our channels, so thank you for that. And we appreciate each and every single one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
There you go. Okay, everybody. Again, it was a very busy week. I think it's going to be a very busy and interesting week, going through WrestleMania.
All I know is in a WWE arena, I heard Cero Miedo chanted by thousands of people. So fuck yeah.
And in a sellout arena for TNA at the pay-per-view, we got to hear 1,000 people chanting, "You're a racist" at Tessa Blanchard. So that's also fun too. Coming up here, FSW Future Stars of Wrestling. We are having on January 25th, the New Year's resolution. Some great stuff going on there, including a WWE ID match between two guys have not been in town before, so it's going to be a very interesting Future Shock coming on February 8th, Valentine's Day Massacre February 15th. No Escape from the Silverton is going to be taking place March 2nd, and then of course Full Tilt 3 Mania Collective taking place while WrestleMania weekend is here, and there's I believe 8 to 10 shows that are booked for the Future Stars Wrestling Arena right now. With some big names, including a match that got revealed this week. Apparently, it's going to be for the Caribbean Wrestling Company, in which Kenny King has wrestled for before. Kenny King will actually be taking on Marty Scurll.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
The villain in Vegas. Interesting.
Yes. So, you know, might be a little
Ring of Honor days.
Like no. Ring of Honor. Yeah, very, very controversial. Yes. So, you know, if you are a fan of Marty's right now, it looks like he is going to be wrestling Kenny King. So, and also AJ Francis is on that show. Hopefully Maserati will be able to get back in the ring for that one. So, yeah. You know, Mark Henry has ties to that company as well. So, very, very just interesting and big things going on. Of course, GCW and their collective going on. You know, it looks like From the Palms. So a lot of shows that they're producing as well. So again, big weekend week here for WrestleMania week coming up. And, you know, you can't go wrong. So again, everyone, thank you for tuning in this week, and right now we gotta say goodbye.
With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Sharper than a jigsaw, Sin City's finest, knowledge that can find us, pro wrestling, life lessons, wisdom redefine us, Las Vegas playground, tough crowd behind us, culture shook hard, repping bad boys aligning, three voices in sync, truth bombs never blink, from the strip to your ears, they drop jaws in a blink, opinions always real, never sway, never shrink, fans ride the wave, connection unlinked.